A lot of grace in that song. It's a good song. If you have a Bible, turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. This is a joyful epistle. He's talking about praising God all through it. But we're going to pick it up and go a little different direction today. Verse 19 of chapter 2, and we'll read down through the end of the chapter. Verse 19 of Philippians chapter 2. Paul says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." We find in 1 Corinthians 13 that one of the evidences of charity is seeketh not her own. And so we're always doing for someone else. "But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the father, he has served me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick." He was burdened because somebody knew that he was sick. And that's interesting, isn't it? He was full of heaviness for that. "For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." Father, bless your word today. I pray, Lord, that it would really affect us. Help us to trust it. Help us to receive it. And God, may it just be a blessing in our lives so that we could be a blessing to you and so many others. Help us now as we preach and as we hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message today is Tears. And we just read about a lot of sorrow. Epaphroditus, he was full of heaviness. Paul said, sorrow upon sorrow, and that if he got better, I would be less sorrowful. And so we find that in the scriptures. There are tears of joy, and there are tears of sorrow. There are emotions of happiness and emotions of sadness. But praise God, there are emotions. It's good to have emotions, amen? Because then what you do or what you say or how you act is because of something in your heart. I looked this up online, and it has to be true because it was on the internet, but it was some scientific description of tears. And one writer said, "The limbic and lacrimal systems collaborate, they work together to make emotional tears." There's two systems in your body that work together to make emotional tears. When your body makes emotional tears, your limbic system, that's the part of your brain associated with emotional arousal, signals the brain's message station, which then relays a signal to your lacrimal system to produce tears. Okay, so you're hearing or experiencing something, and it creates a physical reaction. You ever been scared? You know, that can create a physical reaction too. People can pass out. Your hair can turn white. I'm not even going to say it. But anyway, no tears, no emotional tears. It's because of no emotional arousal. And some people have a hard time showing their emotions or even experiencing their emotions. You probably heard the statement, "Don't cry or I'll give you something to cry about." And so sometimes where children are raised where they're not encouraged to show their emotions. They're supposed to be like little toy soldiers, and that doesn't work, amen? But we have to be able to share our heart, and hiding emotions is not good. Research has found that in addition to being self-soothing, shedding emotional tears releases oxytocin and endorphins. I think that's how you pronounce it. And that makes you feel good. These chemicals make people feel good and may also ease both physical and emotional pain. In this way, crying can help reduce pain and promote a sense of well-being. That's good to know. Amen? And it does do that. And also in the Bible, we learn that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So whether we're happy or whether we're sad, those are two emotions. One isn't better than the other. Amen? They're both in us, and they can both be used for the glory of God and to the benefit of our own peace, our own comfort. If you go in the scripture, Jesus was a man of sorrows. We find that back in the book of Isaiah, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. In John chapter 11, at Lazarus' tomb, Jesus wept. We find that in the garden, it says that he was exceeding sorrowful. You find in Matthew chapter 24 in another gospel that he's praying for Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and kill them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chicks, but ye would not. And so he's weeping over Jerusalem. So Jesus was a man of sorrows, we have. Jeremiah is noted as the weeping prophet. He's praying for the people. They're going into captivity, 70 years Babylonian captivity, because of their idolatry. They were warned. They were told about that. God warned them many, many times, which he does. He's very merciful. Amen. And they did not listen. We have Jeremiah 9:1. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Jeremiah 13:17. But if ye will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Jeremiah was a great prophet, and here he's weeping. We have Job. He was a man of tears. It says in Job 16:20, my friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. Can you imagine what that man went through? All of his children were taken. His wife says, why don't you curse God and die? He lost all his wealth. He lost his health. And then he lost his friends. And they began to accuse him, this is only happening to you because there's something wrong in your life. Can you imagine that? And he was an upright man. He was a godly man. He helped people all his life. But, boy, he got this reputation because his friends were spreading that lie. And that's what it was. And so he's still weeping. He's weeping for his friends. He's weeping for his family. He's just weeping for his sorrow. Hezekiah, we read about Hezekiah. He wept for his life. God said in Isaiah 38:5, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thee 15 years of life. I've seen your... God is saying that. In the psalm, I think it's Psalm 56, could be 53, could be 58, but it's in the 50s, how God puts our tears in a bottle. I mean, can you imagine that God keeps track of all of that? Where we weep for somebody's soul, where we weep for the nation, amen, where we weep for whatever, and there are things to weep for that we'll see as we go through the message. The Apostle Paul, greatest, some people say the greatest Christian, one of them that ever lived, Acts 20:19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and there's where the tears come from, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, 2 Corinthians 2:4. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. No tears is not a sign of manhood. Tears are a blessing all through the scripture. I'll give you a few more just briefly. But we go through the scripture and our Lord himself wept. Peter wept bitterly. Paul told Timothy, I am mindful of your tears. David in the Psalms said, my tears, many, many times. And remember, when their loved ones were taken captive by the enemy, it says they wept until they had no more power to weep. What were they weeping for? The loss of their loved ones. Amen. And also that they could win them back somehow, which they did. Mary washed Jesus' feet with her tears. Esther besought the king with many tears, etc., 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 etc. And sometimes we get into an age or to a circumstance or to a way of life when tears are maybe are only seen during a movie on TV, you know, and those tears come. But I want to show you today how we can be a blessing to each other. It doesn't mean that we have to go up and cry and hold somebody, but sometimes we do that because that's an evidence of that deep caring and that deep love for someone. Matthew 5:4, this is one of the Beatitudes that our Lord gives us, and he says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And to know the comfort of God, that is a real blessing when God can do that. 2 Corinthians 7:10, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." Some people are sorry they got caught robbing the bank. Amen. But there's a sorrow of God, and it's a godly sorrow, and it brings us closer to him. That's because that emotion is involved. That heart is involved. David was a man after God's own heart. And it, all through the Psalms, read the Psalms and you'll see his tears and his weeping and his calling out to God and his gratefulness to God for all that he has done. Romans chapter 12, there's so much instruction on this. And you know, when you go through the scripture and God keeps saying something over and over and maybe a little different way so you see it, you know, and he wants to reveal this unto us. And that's the purpose of preaching and teaching and Bible study and devotions. So God can speak to us so that we would be closer to him and we would be more like him. Amen? And then we can fulfill his will on this earth, because love is important. Emotion is important. The reality of our care for one another, that is important. Amen? It says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice." Man, I like to do that. I like to do that. I tell jokes. I listen to jokes. They're not as funny as my jokes, but I'll listen to them anyway. Don't you enjoy just rejoicing about something with somebody? Somebody comes in and a blessing on their life, and boy, I'm so happy for you. And it's, you share that, amen? But the rest of the verse says, "And weep with them that weep." Rejoice with them that rejoice, that's easy. That's fun for everybody. But weep with them that weep. That's where you pour out your heart. That's where you get in touch with God working through you, because he weeps. Amen? He loves. He gives of himself. In Lamentations, well, let me say this. Let me give you some words that are involved in this. Compassion, empathy, sympathy, pity. Those are all feelings that cause that connection. Amen? And people know when you're connected. They know when that works. Lamentations, Jeremiah wrote this book also, and he said, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Is there any man that's had the sorrow that I have, and you just pass by?" Pass by, uninvolved. And he's pouring out his heart. He's weeping for the nation. He's going over and over and over again what God has said so that they might get it. Amen? But they didn't treat him right. They neglected him. He says, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by?" It reminds me of Luke chapter 10, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And a certain man went up from Jericho to Jerusalem, down from Jericho to Jerusalem, or from Jerusalem to Jericho. And as he went, he fell among thieves, and they beat him, they robbed him, they stole from him, they left him for dead by the side of the road, half dead. Along comes a priest and passes by on the other side. I don't want to be involved. Boy, that would really take some work right there. I just don't want to give my heart, I don't want to give my life to that. And so he passed by on the other side. A Levite comes by. And he passes by. "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Has there been any man that's had sorrow like my sorrow?" And so there needs to be among God's people, amen, a sympathy, an empathy, a pity, a compassion. And the verses are endless. But here, finally, the Samaritan, good Samaritan comes by and he gets the man, he puts him on his beast, he takes him to an inn. He doesn't just pass by. He gets involved. Esther, chapter 8, verse 6. Esther says when she understands that she has to beseech the king, and I just read that verse, how she did that with tears, but to save the nation, you know the story. And she said, how can I endure to see the evil that shall come upon my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? She couldn't endure to see that. She had to be involved because that was important. She couldn't just pass by because that would be a problem for her too. I want to read two verses. This is in Esther chapter 4 and verse 14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. Mordecai is saying this to her. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? What are we doing here? Is it providence that we're here? Did God direct our lives? Did God look at our past and here we are and we're trying to minister to each other? That's what church is about. Amen. We preach, we teach. We want God to work in all of our lives and so that he can help us to help other people. And so here we are for such a time as this. My wife and I were soon to be 57, you know, maybe a little older than that. But, I mean, why are we here? Why does God speak to us the way he does? Why do we have visitors that come back, too? Amen? They came back. What a blessing. But what are we doing here? Somebody has a need. Somebody has a heartache. We cannot pass by on the other side. We cannot say that sorrow is too much for my sorrow. I cannot do it. And so God orchestrates, God plans, God works, and the timing is spot on where we can help somebody and have compassion. And maybe you can't do anything physically. Maybe that doesn't work for you, but you can pray. And there's a lot of prayer, and it says, for such a time as this. And so Esther said, if I perish, I perish, because this is important. I hope you're remembering some of the verses that I've read, because this is all under the instruction of our Lord so that he can help us. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Amen? That's what it says. So we have a burden that leads to a blessing. We sow in tears, oh God, and then the blessing comes and we can help somebody. In Matthew 27, our Lord is on the cross. In verse 39, and they that passed by reviled him. They're passing by again. He's pouring out his soul so that we can be saved. Isn't that amazing? He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They passed by, reviled him, wagging their heads. There's a song that my wife used to sing. It's entitled, Have I a Heart of Stone? And there's a couple of verses and like a chorus. And pay attention, this may be true of you. It may be, it may not be true. But the purpose of preaching and teaching and using these examples is so that we can examine ourselves. Amen? And then when we can't see it, we say, Lord, search my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me. So he does that. Amen? Because this is so important. Have I a heart of stone, so cold and dark within that I can view the Savior in anguish for my sin and never sorrow fill for all he sacrificed? Have I a heart of stone to watch the bleeding Christ? Have I no eyes to see that I can stand so near and watch the Savior wounded and never shed a tear? You ever think about that? We watch some Hallmark recently, and we always know how they end. Amen. 15 minutes before the end, there's a real problem, and then they get it figured out, and then everybody's everybody's happy. There's usually tears in those movies, and there's some movies you watch and you just feel something. And you ever cried during a movie? Amen. If you never cried, your crier's broke. Amen. That's a technical name for it. But I mean, there's some kind of emotional thing that goes on, and it brings the tears. That's what we're talking about. But to think of our Savior and to think of what He did for us, it's good to revisit that. It's good to revisit the day of your salvation. It's good to get in touch with the Lord in your heart and shed a tear because He's such a blessing. Have I a heart of stone to watch the bleeding Christ? Have I no eyes to see that I can stand so near and watch the Savior wounded but never shed a tear? Can I but coldly gaze upon His painful loss? Have I no eyes to see God's Lamb upon the cross? And then the chorus is, as I behold the blood and view the crucified, the piercing thought overwhelms me. 'Twas for my sin He died. Here's the prayer. This is the purpose of reading this. Lord, make my soul to feel Thy suffering on the tree. Lord, break this heart of stone. Lord, make my eyes to see. What a prayer. What a prayer. God, help me to get in touch with this. Help this to be so real in my heart. There's a verse that says, Lamentations 3:51, mine eye affecteth mine heart. There are things I cannot watch on TV. One is when all of these dogs have been mistreated or they're out in the cold. I just can't watch that. I mean, my heart just breaks for that. And I watching that's not going to do anything for the dog for me unless I start sending them money. But I have that burden. But I cannot watch that. Amen? Because it affects your heart. I've watched things on TV that I'm laughing. I've watched funniest home videos. I don't know if you've ever watched them. It's kind of like watching the Three Stooges or something. And that's my wife's favorite show. She makes me turn it on all the time. That's a lie. But anyway, I mean, you can watch something, and maybe it's a comedy or maybe it's something, and you start to laugh because it's something that you see. But it works the same way in something that you see that brings sadness. Mine eye affecteth my heart. When I was at Bible college, I worked at this army tank factory, true story, and it was a foundry, and they poured metal, and we machined the metal, and we welded the metal. We did all that kind of stuff, and a lot of the students from the school got jobs there because we were good workers, and there was a young man. He had only been working there maybe a week, and they had grinders, and they would get in the hull. These were just castings. They would get in the hull of the army tank, and they would take this disc grinder, and they would grind off places that were going to be machined or whatever. And I'll never forget this. I will never forget this. He was in there working. I was an inspector. And all of a sudden, you heard a big bang. And what happened is his grinder blew up, and there was no guard on it. And the wheel, I won't describe the whole thing, but it was pretty gory. And to look in that tank and see him, the supervisor jumped in and got him out of there, and they called an ambulance, but he was gone long before the ambulance ever got there. And you think about something, I can feel it right now. And sometimes, tell me if this is true, kind of relate, but sometimes you can harden your heart to things. You can get used to bad things, and you just don't feel what you ought to feel. And that happens to us through life, whether it's bitterness, pride, all kinds of different things can happen. Selfishness, where we just harden our heart and we pass by. I don't want to be involved. There was nothing we could do that day, but if there was, we would certainly have done it. Amen? Mine eye affecteth my heart. If that is broke, that's really a problem. And so we pray to God, God, affect my heart. touch my heart. I'm told to love him with all my heart. And I can't do that unless he helps me do that. But then there's another verse, Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now you see something spiritually. And that's a good thing to see. Amen? You can see the things that God wants you to see. And so we go through the scripture and we see his power. We see his grace. We see his mercy. We really see it. We see how it works in our life. We see how it works in other people's lives. And it's such a blessing to be enlightened by that. We don't want to just pass by, keep passing by. John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. We do, don't we? Our life here is a difficult life. If we have hope in Christ in this life only, we're of all men most miserable. I mean, this is a struggle. Life is a struggle. Romans 8:22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We groan. That's a strong term. We're heart sick many times. 1 Peter 4:16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Suffering. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And we suffer that. Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Because there are times we're afraid. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. There's times our faith is strong. There's times that our faith is weak. We have listed here tribulation, groaning, travailing, suffering, persecution, fear. That enters our life. There's no way to keep it all out. Amen? You can't put a helmet on or earplugs in and, you know, well, I'll just watch more TV or I will pass by. But see, all that does is harden our heart and gets us going in the wrong direction. There are so many truths with this. My wife and I, we have counseled with people, not counseled people, but have counsel from people. And there's what they call grief counseling. Sometimes you can only take on so much grief, and then it begins to affect you, and you really need the Lord's help through that. And there are ways to do that. So we ask for God's help, and he gives us that help. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul said this, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others that have, which have no hope. We could go at the funeral. It was a celebration. That's what Ken wanted. He wanted a celebration. But there were tears there too. And we sorrow, but not as others that have no hope. There are people in our assembly, different issues, loss of loved ones, all kinds of things to pray for. And there are tears. There's sorrow involved in that. And sometimes that sorrow just manifests itself. And it just needs a shoulder. Amen. It just needs a helping hand. It needs somebody to pray. That's a blessing. 1 Corinthians 12:26. This is the church. Again, this is instruction. This is what God wants of us. Amen. We want to help each other. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Ye are the body. Here you got the suffering, the sadness, and the rejoicing and the blessing again. But God puts them equal. He gives them equal ground. He said, rejoice with them that do rejoice, but weep with them that weep. And so we should not just go looking for those that are rejoicing. We ought to try and help those that are weeping. Amen. And those that need encouragement. Hebrews 13:3, again, talking about the body, talking about the church. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. We can relate to that. Bear ye one another's burdens. It says in that chapter, bear your own burdens too. But bear ye one another's burdens. Let's see. I wish Richard was here because he would tell me the rest of the verse. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. It couldn't be any clearer. Amen? Brethren, you which are spiritual, if a man be overcome, if you're spiritual, help him, minister to him, lift him up. And that'll be a blessing, and that's what God tells us to do. So we come into church and, boy, they look sad. I don't want to be anywhere around them. I'm going to go get more coffee, you know. Or, boy, I don't know. I don't know. They look pretty upset about something. Pew! No, we need to pray. We need to love. We need to be kind. We need, amen? We need to help one another. Hebrews 13:3. Well, that's what I just read. Love one another. Pray one for another. Be kind one to another. Comfort one another. Bear one another's burdens. The day is coming when Revelation 21:4, that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Think of that. No more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. In other words, that's what's going on now. We groan. There's tribulation. There's trials. There's heartaches. There's tears. Amen? But the day is coming when there won't be any more of that. The former things are passed away. But that day is not here yet. That day is not here yet. I looked up online. There was a song entitled A Father's Prayer. Would have gone well with a Father's Day message. But it says, Loving Father, patient Father, make this Father more like you. You are kindness, gentle kindness. Keep me kind in all I do. Lord, my children are your children. May they know you as I show you in my spirit day to day, living love from day to day. Our children. Think of the day and age we're raising our children. Think of the difficulty. This is a different world. And we ought to pray for these children just like they were our children. Some of our children is grown. I've got two great-grandsons, 5 and 6 years old. It's a different world. And we need to pray for them. Amen? We need to pray for their parents. We need to pray for all that is connected to that. Charles Wesley wrote a song, Help Us to Help Each Other, Lord. And that's how it starts out. Help us to help each other, Lord, each other's cross to bear. Let each his friendly aid afford and feel another's care. Well, I mean, they should have known better. I'm not going to help them. They should have known better. We should have known better sometime. Amen? You don't just help people that should have known better or did know better. You help the people that didn't know better. And boy, what a blessing that can be. John Newton wrote a song. I won't go through all the verses because that's all my introduction. I'm getting ready to get into the message now. Amen? Not one amen. Okay. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are burdened. Come to me, and I will give you rest. And ye shall find rest unto your soul. That's a good verse. Casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. That's a good verse. That means we have care. Amen? That means we need rest. That's why he puts those verses in there. If God be for us, who can be against us? Why did God put that in there? Because he knows people are going to, and spirits are going to oppose us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. With God, all things are possible. All of these verses. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. We won't be alone. Romans chapter 16. In Isaiah 41, help, Lord. That's in Psalms. That's in Isaiah. And God does help us. He's a strength to us. And he lifts us up with his right hand. He's there for us. This is Romans 16. And look what God put in the scriptures. Verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, Paul is writing, which is a servant of the church, which is at Tencrea, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of, you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. She has been a blessing. She has met the needs of a lot of people and me also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. They did not just pass by. They said, boy, there's a great need here. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. I skipped a verse. Verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved that guy, and is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Adronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute that guy, approved in Christ. And you just go down through there and you see all of these people's names, and they were willing to give their lives. They didn't want to just pass by. One more scripture to turn to. Isaiah 61. Turn to Isaiah 61. And we'll be done after this. Isaiah 61. This is a rough world. There are a lot of enemies. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against powers, against the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They're not fleshly. We just need some help from God. Billy Sunday used to use this text all the time. He'd open his Bible to this wherever he preached. But he had his messages memorized, but this would be the Bible open to. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Look at that verse. And that's all coming from preaching the word. It's all coming from ministering the word. How we need the word, because that's the balm in Gilead. That's the healing ointment. That's the verse that's going to change somebody's life or give somebody hope, and to help them with that. Amen. Verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So that's what he calls us to do, to comfort one another with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I need comfort. You need comfort. God needs to be real in our life before we can help him to be real in somebody else's life. May God speak to all of our hearts, and may he answer our prayer. God, enlighten me. God, help me to feel this need. Help me not to pass by on the other side. Help me to be involved in this great work. Think of what God has done for you. Oh, my, the testimonies that are here today. How God came, how God saved you, how God ministers to you, how God lifts you up. Amen? So many blessings. That's why he says, forget not my benefits. He's so good to us, and he wants us to be a blessing to other people. Help someone. Amen? If, whether it's prayer, whether it's a kind word, whether it's encouraging, but just minister to people. And may it come with sorrow sometimes, with tears. Amen? Let's bow our heads, please. Our Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit that works in each one of our hearts that know you. And I pray today, God, that we would ask you all to open our hearts to that work, that empathy, that sympathy, that pity that you would have us show to those that are sorrowing, those that need help. Please, God, grant that prayer to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.